Beginning the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Vav. Begin on the bottom line of Hayamid Beis, where the Gemara continues with the previous Gemara's discussion, which we discussed regarding the status of Tveria. If Tveria, the Megillah is recited on the 15th or the 14th, Chizkiah was in doubt, where although the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua that they were Ori Mivtzer, they were fortified cities, which means they was a walled city, and one of them was Rakas, and we said Rakas is Tveria, and that the Gemara says, you're right, that there was a difference of understanding of what it means that it's fortified regarding Bote Erechayim, regarding reciting Megillah. So although it was surrounded with walls, but on the fourth side, it didn't have a wall. And actually, for Bote Erechayim, it's not considered a walled city. But it was in doubt regarding Mikra Megillah. Does it mean that if it's covered or open, and if it's open, it's open, it's not covered? Or is it regarding being protected, and if the fourth side is the sea, it's still protected, and therefore that was the doubt. Now, regarding actually the interpretation of saying that Rakas was Tveria, Amar Rabbi Yechon, the Gemara continues in the following teaching of Rabbi Yechon. It says, Kavin Natalia says, when I was a young boy, Amina Milsai said something, the She'ilnu L'Savai that I asked to the elders, and it's a continued time of Vav Min Aleph, V'shtakach Kavasi, and it turned out that it was like me. Where he interpreted this pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that talks about the places in the Shevet of Naphtali, that it says Chamas, so he says Zut Tveria, referring to Tveria. V'lom Nekrishma Chamas, why was it called Chamas? Ashum Chami Tveria, because of the hot water baths that there are, which were there from still the times of the flood that was left, that the hot waters of Tveria, that's why it's called Chamas. Arakas, he says Zut Zipari, not like we said in the previous daf. That, yeah, Tveria is actually one of those, but it's not because of Rakas, but actually Chamas is Tveria, and Rakas refers to the place called Tzipari. V'lom nekrishma Rakas, and why is it called Rakas? Shem de medalia, because it's very high up. Kiraksa de Nahara. The word Rakas is like the banks of the river, which is higher than the river, so Tzipari was on top of mountains, and therefore it was called Rakas. Kinneret, Zuginusr, this refers to the place called Ginusr. Volum nekrishma kineris, the misiki peri, because the fruits there are sweet. Kekala dechinari, like the sound of a harp, which is very sweet, referring to kiner, and therefore that's why it was called kineret, because the fruits were sweet. Now, on this interpretation of Marava, he asks, Mikalaman damarakis loved very. Is there really anyone who, as we actually said this in the previous daf, and Rabbi Yechon is saying that, no, Rakas is not Teferi, he's saying that Chamas is Teferi and Rakas is Tzipari. Ask Rabbi, is that really possible? But when someone passes away, a great person passes away in Bavel, so Hasam over there in Tveria, Safti Lehachi, they eulogize the person as follows. Gadlhu b'sheshach. This person grew up in Sheshach, which refers to Bavel because there's something called Atbash, which the Aleph is equivalent to Taf, the first letter with the last letter. This Bash, Beis, the second letter is equivalent to the last letter. So instead of saying Bavel, which is Beis Lamed, they say the backwards way, which is Shin Shin Chaf. So they say that this person who lived their life in Bavel now is being buried in Tveria. He grew up in Sheshach, v'shem loy b'rakas, and however he made a name for himself in Rakas, which you see, and this was in Tveria, and you see they called it Rakas. Moreover, he says v'chimaski areina, when they would bring up the coffin from this dead person in Bavel, lahasim over there to bury him in Tveria, safti lehachi. The eulogizers, they would call out in the marketplaces so that everyone should come to the funeral. They would say, Oyhave Sridim, those who love the remnants, meaning those who love the Jewish people, Yeshvi Rakas, the inhabitants of Rakas, Tzu Vikiblu Harugi, I may go out and receive those who were killed in the deep place, referring to Bavel, which is a very low down place that's very deep. As the Gemara says, Ki Nach Nafshid Reb Zeir, when Reb Zeir passed away, Pasach Aleh Husafdana, that eulogizer opened up his Levaya, his funeral, by saying the following words. Eretz Shinner Harvi Yalda. Shinner is another name of Bavel. The land of Bavel conceived and gave birth, because Reb Zeira actually came, he actually lived in Bavel, and he came up to Eretz Yisrael, and he passed away up there in Tveria, so he was born there in Bavel. But Eretz Tzvi, which is another name for Eretz Yisrael, Gidla Shashua, brought up its delights, meaning to say of Shinner, because he went and then moved to Eretz Yisrael. Ayna la amarakas, woe to her, says Rakas, referring to their place where this eulogy was in Tveria, ki avdi klechem dasa, because it lost its precious vessel, referring to this Talmud Chacham, that of Reb Zeir. But one thing we see is that in Tveria they called it Rakas. Se'ela amar, and the gear says, Rava Rathi says, you're right. No, Chamas zuchami gror, this refers to the hot waters of gror, and Rakas zu Tveria, like we said in the previous daf, Rakas is Tveria. Kineret zuginisa. Now, for Lomanik Rishma Rakas, why was Tveria called Rakas? Shafilari Kanan Sheba, it's from the word of rake, because even the empty ones in Tveria, Malay and Mitzvahs Karima were filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate, meaning to say that even the lowest people over there had fulfilled many mitzvahs. Rabbi Miriam, he says, Rakashma. No, to the contrary, its name was Rakas. So, why was it called Tiberia? She yeshevis b'tibur shel Eretz Yisrael, because this place, Rakas, is situated in the navel, meaning in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, it's called Tiberia, like the Tibur, which is the navel, the stomach of a person. The Gersa here is Rabba, and he says, Rakas Shema, its name is Rakas. He says, and why was it called Tiberia? She Tiberia asa, Tiberia is Tiberia, that it's good to look at. Like Tyson says, because there's many gardens and orchards, and it's a beautiful thing to look at, and therefore it's called Tiberia, Tiberia asa. Now Amazir, he says, Kitron, this place called Kitron, Zu Tzipari. That's actually what we call Tzipari. So why is it called Tzipari? She Shevis Beresha Harkat Tzipari, because it's situated on top of a mountain, like a bird. Now the Gemara asks, for Kitron Tzipari, is that really so that Kitron, which is mentioned in the Torah, is Tzipari? But for Kitron Mechel Kishel Zebulun, Habi Kitron was in the portion of the Shevet Zebulun. The Sefer says in Sefer Shaftim, it says Zebulun Loheirish Es Yeshvi Kitron. They did not chase out those inhabitants of the Canaanim in Kitron, and Ves Yeshve Nahalul, who they came in, that they were part of the portion of Zevulun, and they violated what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Varmchav, Loisachai Kan Neshamei Nala, to keep them alive. Rather, they kept them alive so that they could collect taxes from them. Moreover, Zevulun Nisram Amidaisavav, Zevulun was complaining regarding his mazel that he got from Shemayim, regarding the portion that he had, that he didn't want that portion of Eretz Yisrael. Shemayim, like it says, the Pasuk in Sefer Shaftim says, Zevulun, Am Cherif Nafshei Lamus. He was ashamed people to death. Matam, what's the reason? What was his problem? Mishum, because that's what the end of the pasuk says, De Naftali Amarei Mesadeh, because Naftali was on the heights of fields, which is, as the Gemara explains, Amar Zevulun Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shevet Zevulun said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, La'achyai Nasata Lehem Sadeh Sekaram, to my brothers you gave fields and vineyards, V'li Nasata Har Mikvas, and you give me mountains and hills, La'achyai Nasata Lemaratzis, to my brothers you give lands, V'li Nasata Yam and Haras, to me you give me seas and rivers. So Amalois Hashem said to him, to Shevet Zevulun, look, Kulan, all of them, all your brothers, will tzirichen lach, will need to come on to you, al yidei chalazen, because of the chalazen fish, which is a type of aquatic creature that comes up from the sea to the mountains, and they use from its dye of its blood, and they make tcheles, which is blue wool, which is sold for a lot of money, and therefore it's going to be well worth it, the portion that you have. Shem, like it says a pasuk in Devarim. Amen. The peoples, Har Yukaru, will call out to the mountains, meaning from all the tribes are going to gather to your mountains to purchase Visvune, that which is covered, to Munechel, hidden in the sand. Which Tan Rav Yosef, Yosef Tan the Braisa, explaining what these words are referring to. Svuni covered zechilazen. This refers to the chilazen, which is something very chashuv, which the word safin also means in the Talmudic and in the Mishnaic wording means chashuv, that's distinguished. So that's referring to the chalazin. Temune hidden zu tris, which refers to a fish called tunina, which some want to say that's like tuna. Chayil, sand, zu zechuches levana. This refers to white glass, which comes out of sand, as the Gemara says in Shabbos that Vav Mabez. And the sand by Zevulun was more chashiv, more valuable than other sands, and it was fit to make this white glass. So, I'm on the fun of, but Zevulun said in front of Hashem, Rebbein Shalom, Master World, but me my dieni, who's going to let me know in this that they're going to come to me and they're going to pay me for what they're taking? They're just going to come to my land and take these things. Agriculture, at least there you could protect, you could utilize. Here, everyone's just going to come and take what they want. So, Amalais, Hashem said to him what the Pasuk says over there, Sham Yizbechu Zivchei Tzadik, there they're going to slaughter, a slaughtering of righteousness, which Hashem was telling him, Simen Zeyeh, look, this is going to be a sign for you. Kol HaNoitlem Emcha, whoever's going to take from you, meaning, whoever's going to find the chalazen and just take it on their own, beloy dam, without paying money, he's not going to be successful in his business dealings. That's what the pasuk is saying, Sham yizbechu zivchei tzedek, meaning, just like it's forbidden to take a stolen animal to bring as a carbon oila, it has to be a zivchei tzedek, so too no one's going to steal from you. Because if someone takes to you even the value of a pruta without paying, the dye and the sand is going to get ruined and it's not going to work, and therefore everyone's going to pay you and it's going to be well worth your portion. One thing the Gemara concludes, and if you're going to entertain, like the Gemara said before, that Kitron, like Zira said, is Tzipori, and this is their portion, was Kitron, so why was he complaining about his portion? But Tzipori is a great land. Why were they complaining then, if Kitron is Tzipori? Now, if you're going to say, yeah, because the Lespa Zav is Chal Vivash, although it's great land, but it still doesn't have the element which Eretz Yisrael is praised regarding that it's flowing milk and honey, What that literally means to say is that the goats would eat figs, and the honey would drip from the goats, and the milk would flow from that of the goats, and it would make literally streams, as the Gemara says in Ksubas, of milk and honey. And that's what Tzipor was lacking. That's what Zevon was complaining about. But Vomer Shlokesh, he said, he says, I saw the flowing of milk and honey in Tzipori, and it was 16 mil, which is 4 parasois, al shisha asa mil on 16 mil squared. Now, Chidya may begin to say, okay, you're right, they had Zavos Chol V'Dvash, but the loy nefish of the day kedachu, but it wasn't as much as the rest of his brothers in Eretz Yisrael. But that says the Gemara, no, proportionally, it was actually a pretty nice portion. And says, I saw the area that the Eretz Yisrael was flowing milk and honey in all of Eretz Yisrael, wherever it was. And if you would combine all of that from all of Eretz Yisrael together, the Havikim and Beikuvi would be like from the area of Beikuvi at Akra, which is the name of where the port, where the ships come by the water, of the Tulvanki, which is a distance of Esn Batarti Parsi Urka, is a length of 22 Parsi, Upusi Shidda Parsi, and a width of 16 Parsi. So if one would go ahead and split it into the 12 tribes, actually Tzipori is huge. So what would it be that Zevon is complaining about Tzipori, which is great land, and it's even Zavos Chol V'Dvash? Says Gemara, yeah, Filhachi, even so Zevon was complaining because Sadis Ukramim Adifle. He preferred to have fields and vineyards, which is more precious to him. And says the Gemara, Dekanami, precise reading in the Pasuk indicates this. Because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says in Shaftim over there, the end of the Pasuk, like we quoted before, V'naftali amaroi mesade. Naftali was in the heights of the fields. Shema Minah, obviously what he was complaining about was regarding the fields that they had. But one thing is that we resolved, it's not difficult, how Kitron could be Tzipori, because ultimately, even if it's great lands, but it's still not fields and vineyards, and that's what Shevet Zevon was complaining about. Now Amr Bavo, continue on different places, he quotes a Pasuk in Zephaniah. Says the Ekron te Akron. Ekron will be uprooted. What does that refer to? Zukisari bas Edom. This refers to Caesarea, the daughter of Edom, meaning from the ancestry of Edom. Shehishevis ben achilis, which it dwells between the sands. The hi hoisi yase teku, and this was a peg that was sticking out for evil li Yisrael to the Jewish people b'meyavon. Meaning this place was a bastion of where they would bother and plague the Jewish people in the days of the Greeks, when the Greeks controlled Eretz Yisrael. When the family of the Chashmonaim, they got in power and they vanquished their enemies, so then they called it the conquered Tower of Shir, where they took over this place. And ultimately, this is going to be uprooted in the future. Now, continue on Ekron regarding the battle between the Jewish people and Edom. So Amar Bisbar Chanina says, what does it mean the Pasuk in Zechariah by Tzur, which is the head of Edom, meaning the top of the lands of Edom. So the Pasuk says, Hashem says, Vasiresi dam of mipiv, I'm going to remove the blood from his mouth, Vashikutza mibein shinav, and the filth from between his teeth, Vinishagam hula lekenen, is also going to be remained for our God. What does this mean? Vasiresi dam of mipiv, I'm going to remove his blood from his mouth, Zebes bam yishalhem, which these two words we're going to quote of Galia and Bamia, are both the top idols of Edom. So when he's saying that I'm going to remove the blood from their mouth, means to say I'm going to remove this idol of Bamia from them, and the filth from between his teeth, Zebes Galia Shalhan. This refers to this Abu Dazar of Galia from them. When the Pasuk concludes, Vinisha Gamhul Likainu, but that's also going to be remained for our God, this refers to the shuls and the study halls of Edom, where that's not going to be destroyed, and that's going to be remained for Hashem our God, the shuls and the batim midrashim, even in the lands of Edom. Now the pasuk concludes, it's going to be like a chief in Judah, the Ekron ki Yevusi. Ekron is going to be, which is the enemy, the Edom is going to be like Yevusi, which is Yerushalayim. What does that refer to? Elu triatrois v'kirkusay shab Edom. This refers to the amphitheaters and the circuses of Edom, of the culture of Edom. Shasidin sari Yehuda lalamet ben Torah b'ram, that the heads of the Jewish people of Judah are going to end up teaching Torah to the public. That's what's saying that Edom will be fa'alufa Yehuda, where Ekron will be a base Talmud for Yerushalayim, means to say that their places of public sport will be used by the Jewish people as a way of manifesting and teaching Torah. Moreover, Amar Yitzchak, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshua, says Leshem, which was a city that was conquered by the tribe of Dan, Zu Pamyas, refers to Pamyas, which is from there, that's where the Jordan River came out from, like the Gemara says in Mecheres of Nonheim and Aleph, the Jordan comes out from this cave in Pamyas. Ekron ti akar, he says. What does that refer to? The ekron will be uprooted. Zuki sir bas Edom, like we said before, this refers to Caesarea, from line of Edom. Shehiyos a metropolitan shamalachim, which is a Greek word. Metropolitan is two words. The metra means mother. It was the mother of Pilon, which is that of royalty. It's the mother of royalty. That's what Caesarea was. Now, Ikadami, there's two different interpretations of what does that mean. Ikadami, those that say the Marbi Bamalchi, that's where they would bring up the princes. Bikadami, or those that say because the Mukmim and the Malki, that's where they would appoint from there who should be the ruler. Now, continue on this contention between Edom and the Jewish people. Kisar v'Yushalayim, Caesarea, which is the top of Edom, and Yushalayim, which is the top of the Jewish people, you have the following dichotomy. If someone tells you both of them are destroyed, Al Tama, don't believe him. Yashv v'Shteinim, both of them are settled, Al Tama, don't believe him. But Chav v'Kisar v'Yashv v'Yushalayim, but if Caesarea is destroyed and Yushalayim is settled, or Chav v'Yushalayim v'Yashv v'Kisar, or Yushalayim is destroyed and Caesarea is settled, then Tama, then you should believe him. Because Shanem, like it says in Pasuk in Yechezkel, which the beginning of the Pasuk says, Yan Amr Tzur Yushalayim, that Tzur says regarding Yushalayim, which is that same idea of Edom versus the Jewish people, Imalo HaCharava, I will fill up from the destroyed one, meaning now I will fill up because that one is destroyed, which is Imaleyazu Kharvazu, Imaleyazu Kharvazu. If this one is full, this one destroyed. If this one's full, this one destroyed, meaning it's either one or the other. It's a seesaw. It's if the Jewish people are up, they're down. If they're up, the Jewish people, then Chas v'Shalom, are down. Now Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mahachi brings a different source, a pasuk in Bereishis, which regarding the twins of Yaakov and Esav, the prophecy was that the kingdom from the kingdom will become strong, meaning one will become strong from the other. You won't have both of them on the top at the same time. Now Vamer Yitzchak continuing on this theme, he says, what's the pasuk in Yeshaya? Yuchan Rasha, the wicked is favored, but Balam Tzadik, he won't teach righteousness. So I'm a Yitzchak of Nakadosh Baruch Hu. This is Yitzchak of Inu, said in front of Hashem. Rabbi Nishalom, master of the world, Yuchan Esav, let Esav find favor in your eyes. So I'm a Lois, Hashem said to him, Rashu, he's wicked. So I'm a Lois, Yitzchak said to him, Baal Lama Tzedek, is there no one who could learn righteousness on my son Esav? So I'm a Lois, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to him, quoting the end of the pasuk that we quoted, Be'eretz Nechaychais, in the land of uprightness, meaning referring to Eretz Yisrael, Ya'avel, meaning referring to Yerushalayim, Ya'avel, he will destroy. So therefore, he's going to destroy Eretz Yisrael. So Amalaisi, it's accepted. If that's the case, the pasuk ends, by Yirigeis Hashem. He should not see the splendor of Hashem. Continuing on another teaching of Omer B'Yitzchok on this theme, Ma'adich said, what does it mean the pasuk in Tehillim? Al titan Hashem, Hashem should not give, Ma'avaye Rasha, the desire of the wicked, Zemamai, his nose ring, Al tafek, do not remove, meaning do not remove from his nostrils the nose ring, which that's like an iron ring, which is put in the nose of a strong animal, wild animal, which from that's how they pull the animal, and because of its strength, it's only protected with this type of nose ring. Don't remove that nose ring, that it shouldn't be your rumor that they should be elevated, Tzela, forever. So what does this mean? So I'm a Yaakov, Yaakov in the said in front of Hashem, Rebbein Shalom, master of the world, Atitin le'esav arashot tavos libo, don't give the wicked Esav the desire of his heart. And when he said, Zemame al tafik, do not remove his nose ring, Zu, this refers to, as you continue to Tamid Beis, Kirmam Yashal Edom, which is the name of a certain dynasty, which is from Edom, which some, as the Vilna Gaon brings, is brought Germania, referring to Germany, because if they would leave their place, they would destroy the whole world, and therefore keep that nose ring and don't let them get out. Now, moreover, he says, there are 300 crowned princes, Taga is a crown and Ketiri is a prince, that there are in Germania of Edom, and there's 365 chieftains that are in Rome. Now, although they're all from the same place, but they went and they split up, each day one of them goes and contests the other one. And they kill one from the other side. And then they're pressured and they're torn to then go ahead, like in Germania, to go ahead and appoint another king. And because of that, that stopped them from going ahead and having the ability to conquer the world. Another teaching, V'amar B'Yitzchak, he says, if a person says that I toiled, and that is in learning Torah, I didn't find, I wasn't able to merit in learning Torah, Al Tama, don't believe the person. If the person says, no, I didn't toil, but I found the learning of the Torah, Al Tama, don't believe him. Yigati Mitzasi, he says, I toiled and I found, which Torah is considered Mitzia, Hashem has to deliver that insight into a person, then Tama, then you believe him. And as the Gemara says, Hanimil b'dibritar, this was only said in regards to the words of Torah. But masamat, regarding business dealing, siyatum and shemayim, that's help from shemayim, that doesn't depend on the person's yigi and his toil and learning. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, l'dibritar l'amar, we didn't say this regarding to learn the words of Torah, el chidudi, only for a person becoming sharp, to have a deep insight and understanding, that relies on the person's toil. But to maintain a person's learning that he shouldn't forget it, that's siyatim and shemayhi, that is also assistance from heaven. A person could toil in learning, and he won't find it, he won't be able to hold on to his Torah learning. Another teaching from Amar Bitzchok, he says, Emre'isa Rasha, if you see a wicked person, shashom esachekes lay, that he's having it really good, which means the moment is laughing at him. He's living the high life. Everything's working out for him. Al tiskar, but don't start up with him. Shlomo says a pasuk and tell him. Al tischa b'mareim, don't start up with wicked, with evildoers. V'loyoy, not only that, el shadrach matzlichim, all his paths are successful. Shlomo says a different, in a different parak and tell him. It says, yechilu, which means he'll be successful, derach of his path, b'chaleis at all times. V'loyoy, not only that, el shazeich abedin, he wins his court cases. Shlomo says a pasuk, morim mishpatecha minegdoi, it's elevated, it's taken off, it's taken high, your judgment from opposite him, meaning Hashem's judgment from him is taken away, he wins his court cases even from Hashem. Not only that, he sees his enemies, and he's able to take down his enemies, and then like it says there at the end of the pasuk, called Tzairav, all who are opposite him, he blows at them, meaning just by blowing on them, they fall down. So never don't start up with the wicked, with the evildoers. That says, is that really so? But Vamer Biyachin Mishim Mishim Ben Yechi says Mutilis Garis Bishum Ba'al Mazay says you're allowed to start up with wicked people in this world. Shlomo says the pasuk in Mishlei says Oizvei Tayri Yahalu Rasha, those who forsake the Torah they praise the wicked, but Veshemir Torah, those who safeguard the Torah Yiskarabam, they start up with them. But Tanya, like we learned in the Brayser, the story by Mas Nami says Mutilis Garis Bishum Ba'al Mazay, you're allowed to start up with the wicked in this world. And he says even further, he says, Vimlach Shachadim Lem, if someone's going to whisper to you and he says, wait a second, you have the pasuk like we quoted before. It says, Altischa b'mirim, don't start up with evildoers. Vatikan b'yisavla, don't be contentious with those who do wicked. So he says, no. Misha libe noik for yamakin, someone whose heart is banging would say such a thing. Meaning he's afraid of his sins, therefore he says, oh, don't start up, you know, who knows. Ella rather he says, that's not the correct interpretation. Altischa b'mirim doesn't mean starting up, rather means don't grab on to his actions. Don't be liyis kimarim. Don't start up, not with him, but start up to be like him. That's what the pasuk is saying. And ba'al tekana b'yisa avlo means don't be jealous of those who do wicked. Liyis k'yisa avlo, to be like those who do wicked. And so too v'aymet says the pasuk in Mishlei. It says, al yikani libcha b'chatoim. Don't let your heart be jealous, be envious of those who sin. V'goyim etc. Where the pasuk says, ki im b'yiras Hashem kol yom, rather with the fear of Hashem should be all day. Where here, obviously, you see that the word kina doesn't mean like starting up fighting with him. Rather means to copy him and emulate him. From the fact that the pasuk ends, what should the kina be? B'yiras Hashem. So you see, it's what you want, what you desire. So it's talking about desiring, but not like we said that don't start up with him. So that seems to be a contradiction. Says Gemara, Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Ha, b'mili d'day. The first teaching that says don't start up with the wicked was talking about your own private affairs. That don't start up with the wicked. Ha, b'mili d'shmaya. This that we said you could start up with him was regarding spiritual matters. That, regarding matters to heaven, that you could start up with him. If you want to give a different interpretation, no, both teachings are regarding a person's own private matters. But like Kasha, it's not a difficulty. When did we say you could start up with him? Is a totally righteous person. When did we say you shouldn't? Is a righteous person, but not totally. Like Dom Rav Huna, as he taught, my dear, so it wasn't in the pasuk in Chavakuk. It says, Lama Tabit Baigdim says to Hashem, why do you look at the traitors? And Tachrish, you're silent, Bevala Rasha Tzadik Mimena, when the wicked swallows those who are more righteous than him. So he explains, tzadik mimenu b'ileya. Yeah, the wicked could only swallow that who is more righteous than him. But tzadik gamein b'ileya, but a fully righteous person, not just more than him, he cannot swallow, which is that same difference we said regarding a tzadik gamein, tzadik she'in the gamein. Or v'ibayisim, if you want, says the Gemara, what you could say is that really the truth is you could start up with a wicked person in this world. But this that we said, that you shouldn't start up with a wicked person, shom esachekes leishani. That teaching was, like we said, regarding just someone that's, everything's clicking for him. Such a person is obviously, there's an exception over here, and therefore then the person should not start up with such a wicked person. Now the Gemara concludes regarding what we mentioned regarding the Zemama of Edom, regarding the contentiousness between the Jewish people and Edom, and which includes Yavan and Rome. So Amar Uli says, Italia shall Yavan, Italy of Greece, which is a large city, which was because of the sin of Menashe. which Menashe was a wicked king, and at the time when he brought Avodah Zarah into the Heichal, into the Beis HaMikdash, so the Gavriel HaMalach went and stuck a stick into the sea, and on that, all pieces of land started connecting to it, until it and that was built Italia of Yavin. So says the Gemara, Zekrach Gadol Shel Rome, that's a large city of the dynasty of Rome. Ravi Tlas Meya Parsa, Tlas Meya Parsa, that was 365 Parsi squared. And there's 365 marketplaces, like the amount of days in the solar year. And the smallest of them, and like we're saying, Italia Shel Yavin, Greece, where Rome went and took over that dynasty, it was Western civilization from Rome, which is from Greece. And the smallest of them all these 365 marketplaces, was Shalmeichri Eifers, from those who would sell birds. And that smallest one was 16 mil squared. And every single day, the king goes and dines in one of those marketplaces. Moreover, whoever lives over there, even though he wasn't born over there, he gets a portion to eat from the house of the king. And whoever was born over there, even if he doesn't live over there, he also takes a portion from the house of the king. There was 3,000 bathhouses over there. And there's 500 windows, Malin Ashen Chutzlachem, that had the smoke go up from outside the wall, meaning because these windows were higher than the walls of the city, so therefore that it shouldn't smoke up the walls, which that's a sign of Chashivas, that to get that it looks pristine and it doesn't get smoked up from all the fire that's used to cook things over there. Tzidei Yam, one side surrounding it was the sea. Tzidei Echad Har Megvoyos, and one side surrounding it was mountains and the small mountains. Tzidei Echad Mechitza Shel Barzel, one side was an iron wall. Tzidei Echad Chosas, and the fourth side was small pebbles, a metzula, and a swamp, meaning it was very well protected. And we see what we mean when we talk about, you know, the Tal Shel Yavin, this mama of Esav, of Edom, versus that of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, of that of Yaakov. Now, continuing to the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak regarding Megillah Nikras, regarding the reciting of the Megillah. So, and when that is. So says the Mishnah, Karas the Megillah ba'ad harishnah. They read the Megillah on the first Adar, v'nis abra hashana, then there was a leap year, which a leap year in the Jewish calendar means to say, at times, every few years, one has to add an extra Adar, so that the solar calendar is not that much different than the lunar calendar, so they have to, and the lunar year is always smaller, 354, and there is 365, so every few years, they have to add on a leap year. So now you have what's called an Adar Sheni, a second Adar, and we know that the Megillah has to be read on the 14th of Adar. So says the Mishnah, Kari Noisim Adar Sheni, the primary, says the Tana, is the second Adar. So although you read in the first Adar, because they didn't yet make a leap year, so you thought that was Adar, but once they end up making another Adar, you have to then recite the Megillah again in the second Adar. Now, the Mishnah concludes saying, Ein Bein Adar Harishon Adar Sheni, there is no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, Ella, rather, the halacha that we just said, Kriza Megillah, regarding reciting of the Megillah. In other words, if it was recited in the first Adar, like we said, one does not fulfill this obligation. Umatanas Lavyan, regarding giving the gifts to the poor, that also has to be then in the second Adar. But regarding everything else, as the Gemara infers, Hala'inyan Seder Parshas, but regarding the reciting of what we call the Dalet Parshas, which is Parsha Shkalim, Parsha Zachar, Parsha Par, Parsha Chedesh, which as a Mishnah later on teaches us in Perek B'nei Ya'ir, that sounds like that does apply, that's halacha that applies in Adar, that Zevezeh Shavan, that sounds like that both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni would be equal, and that is if, let's say, they recite already in the first Adar, that they wouldn't have to go ahead and repeat it in the second Adar. So says the Gemara, Mani Masnin, so then who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Loitanakama. It's not the first time which we're going to quote now in the Braisa. Valer Belezer Rabbiesi, which is the second opinion. Valer Bishop and Glila. It's not like either one of the three opinions in this following Braisa. The time like we're in the Braisa. Karas a Megillah ba'adar Rishon, if they recited, like the case of our Mishnah, the Megillah in the first Adar, then in the Sabbath Shana, they made it to leap year, they added now a second Adar. Says the Tanakama. Kairin Oisa ba'adar Sheni. So you have to read it in the second Adar. Shakol mitzvah shenoigis b'sheni noigis b'rishon, because says the Tanakama, which means the first Tana, all the mitzvahs that apply by the second Adar apply by the first one, but chutz mimikra Megillah, except for reading the Megillah. So therefore, you have to read it over in the second Adar. Second opinion. But Lazar B'Yisim, he says, in kari noigis b'adar sheni. No, you don't have to read in the second Adar. It says, shakol mitzvah shenoigis b'sheni noigis b'rishon, says all the mitzvahs that apply in the second Adar apply equally in the first Adar. You did in the first Adar, you already fulfilled your obligation. Third opinion, Mishim Lila Mishim Rabbi Yisi, says, Av Karin Oisaba Adar Sheni. No, you also have to read it in the second Adar. You haven't fulfilled it in the first one. Shakol Mitzvah Shonegis B'Sheni, because it says all mitzvahs that apply in the second Adar, which are all the mitzvahs of Purim, Ein Noegis B'Rishon, says they don't apply by Adar Rishon. Now, says the Braisa, but Beshavin, Behesper, Betainis, all opinions agree regarding eulogizing and fasting, Shasrin, Bezeh, Bezeh, that's forbidden on the 14th and the 15th of Adar, both in Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. But first, the Gemara asks, before it says that our Mishnah is not like either one of the opinions, the Gemara first asks Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is the third opinion, who he says that you have to go ahead and recite the Megillah in the second Adar, and the Tanakama. It's the same thing as the Tanakama, who also says you have to recite the Megillah in the second Adar. The Adar Mapapa says no. Say the parashas, the difference between them is the order of the Dalet parashas, which we do with the Kriyas HaTorah. That's the difference between the two of them. Why? Because the Tanakama Sava Leketchil B'Sheni. He says, initially, it's supposed to be done in the second Adar. Like we say that all the mitzvahs are supposed to be in Adar Sheni. But the Ovid Berishon Ovid, but he would hold if you did an Adar Rishon, it would be done because the only thing he says that is not good in Adar Rishon is Bamer, Mikra Megillah, except for the reading of the Megillah. The Avagav, the Kar B'Rishon, even if you read in the first Adar, Kar B'Sheni, you have to read in the second Adar because those were his words. He says, all the mitzvahs in the second Adar apply by the first one. So that would include also the Dalet Parashah. He says, except for the reading of the Megillah. Now, whereas Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yisi Sava, that was the second opinion, says, Afele Mikra Megillah, L'Kechel B'Rishon. He says, no, all the mitzvahs in the second Adar apply by the first Adar. Therefore, even the reading of the Megillah, initially one has fulfilled his obligation in the first Adar. Whereas Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Sava, he held, and we know this from the fact that he says, all the mitzvahs of this are only in the second Adar, are not in the first Adar. He would hold that fellow say the parashas, even the order of the Dalet parashas, Ikar B'Rishon, if you read in the first Adar, it's not good. Kar B'Sheni, you have to read it in the second Adar. So that's the difference between him and the Tanakama. Although they both say you have to read Megillah in the second one, well, what's with Dalet parashas? Tanakama says, okay, that's good in the Adar Rishon B'Diavad. And Shmuel says, no, it would have to be in Adar Sheni. So the Gemara concludes his question, Samani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? As he goes through all the three opinions, not like our Mishnah. E Tanakama, if you think is the Tana of the first Tana of the Braisa, Kasha Matanis, you have a difficulty with Matanis Lev Yoinim, because the Tanakama doesn't require an Adar Sheni, only Mikra Megillah, whereas our Mishnah says Mikra Megillah and Matanis Lev Yoinim. E Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yisi, Kasha Na Mikra Megillah, you have a difficulty even reading a Megillah, where he says, even Mikra Megillah, you don't need Adar Sheni. And Tana of our Mishnah says, that has to be an Adar Sheni. And Iyub Shimon Gamliel, Kasha say the parashas. We have a difficulty with the order of the Dalet parashas, which he said that even that has to be an Adar Sheni, and the Tana of our Mishnah only says that the Megillah and Matanis Lev Yoinim, not Dalet parashas, have to be an Adar Sheni. Says the Gemara, Lo'im Tana Kama, really, the Tana of our Mishnah is the first Tana in the Braisa. The Tana Mikra Megillah, and although the Tana Kama only said regarding the reciting of Megillah, but Behuad Din Matanis Lev Yoinim, of course, that included also giving the gifts to the poor, like our Mishnah said, because Dehab Hatali, like we said in the previous daf, one is contingent on the other. Whenever you recite the Megillah, that's when you give Matanis Lev Yoinim, and therefore that's the same thing as the halacha of our Mishnah. Or if you want, you could say, really, it's the third opinion, that of Shem Gamliel. And our Mishnah is missing some words, and this is what it's supposed to say. Like the end of our Mishnah said, there's no difference between the 14th of the first Adar and of the second Adar. And these were the words of our Mishnah. Besides, reading Megillah and Matanis Lev Yoinim, which they have to be in the second Adar. Now, the inference, however, is it was only coming to exclude, that to say, but regarding eulogizing and fasting, that is not only by the second Adar, that's by both the first one and the second one. But Ve'ilu say the parashas le'mari, but the Tana of our Mishnah was not talking about regarding to make any inference regarding the Dalet parashas. That we could say that no, even that would be, but he just wasn't talking about that. That would also be by the Adar Sheni, and therefore that could even be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Now, Amar B'chi Barav and Amar B'yichin, it says, Hilchas like Reb Shimon Gamliel, Sh'amim Shem B'yisi, Allah Chafaz like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that said in the name of Reb B'yisi, that he says everything has to be in Adar Sheni, besides Hesped and Tainis, one does not fulfill his obligations in the first Adar. Now, Amar B'yichin, it says, V'shneim, and both of them, meaning Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Elazar Reb Yisi, both of them are Mekor Echad Darshu, they're both expounding from the same pasuk. The Megillah says that the mitzvah of Purim has to be on the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, B'chol Shana B'shana, in every single year. So what does this mean? Reb Elazar Reb Yisi, so he understands that B'chol Shana B'shana, every single year, means as follows. Ma'chol Shana B'shana, just like every single year. And this means that it has to be the same every year. It's Adar Samech L'Shvat. Adar always comes after the month before, the 11th month, which is Shvat. Afkan, Adar Samech L'Shvat. Also over here, when there's two Adars, it has to be like it is every single year, which is after Shvat, which is Adar Rishon. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel Sava, he holds, no. B'chol Shana B'shana, every single year it's the same, which is Ma'chol Shana B'shana Adar Samech L'Nisan. Just like every single year, Adar is right before the first month, it's the last month before the first month of Nisan, Avkan, Adar Samech L'Nisan. Also over here, Adar has to be before Nisan, which is Adar Sheni. So the Gemara, and that's the machlekes that they both have. One opinion said that always, all the halachas are in Adar Rishon, which that was the second opinion of the Baisa, and Shingle says, no, all lachas are in the other sheni, because they're disagreeing regarding the uniformity of the of a regular year. But the Gemara asks, Bishlam Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yisi Mistaba Taima. We understand his reasoning that he says, yeah, we keep it ad rishon, like it is every single year. Because really, you're right, you could say either one. Like every year it's after Shvat, or every year before Nisan, but there's an additional understanding why he would say ad rishon, because the Eim Avir Na'ala Mitzvah is this halacha concept called, you don't pass by a mitzvah opportunity. When you get an opportunity, you do it as the teacher of the Brayse in the Mechilta, it says in the Pasuk, Yushmartim as ha-matzahs. You have to safeguard the matzahs, also means as ha-mitzvahs, which is called bom mitzvah yatcha. If a mitzvah comes to your hand, atach matzenu, don't let it ferment, meaning by delaying it. So we understand why he would say it would mean adarish. Adarish mingulil, my tam. What's the reason of Shem Gulil? That he would interpret it to mean adarshaini. Some Reb Tavi says, because tam of Shem Gulil is mismach gu'ul lagula, he holds regarding putting in proximity one redemption to another redemption, which Purim was a geula from Achashverosh and Pesach was a geula from Mitzrayim, that's better, and therefore he interprets it regarding Adar Sheni. Another source, Rabbi Elazar Amar, he says, "Time Rabbi Shem Gulil Malchus." Says, "No, the reason Rabbi Shem Gulil is from the following pasuk." The Chassid says in the pasuk in Megillas Esther, it says that Esther, Hamalka, and Mordechai Yehudi, that they wrote the whole might of what happened in the miracle of Purim, lekayim esigeres haPurim hazayis hasheni, to fulfill this letter of Purim, the second one, which it can be read as the second Purim, meaning in the second month, there's two Purims, like this Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, to fulfill the second one that we see, it's supposed to be an Adar Sheni. And the Gemara explains, so now we have two sources for this halacha. Says Gemara, actually, you need both. B'tzuch l'michlev, you had to write, as a Ketin Tab of Zayin Manalf, Hashenis, the second interpretation of the second one. And B'tzuch l'michlev, b'chol shana b'shana, we had to have the first interpretation we brought that has to be like every single year, which is that Adar is right before Nisan. Why? Because the Ime B'chol Shana B'Shana, if he only had the first interpretation of like every single year, Sahavimini Kukashin, we would have thought, okay, but like we're asking. It could be also like every single year after Shvat. So Kamash Mala Hashenis, that's what the Pasuk says, the second one, the second Adar. B'yashmin Hashenis, and had we only had the second interpretation of the second one, Havimina, I would say, B'tchil B'rish Nubesheni, that in the beginning has to be the first one and the second one. Kamash Mala B'chol Shana B'Shana, that's what we say, every single year it's the same thing, which is only one Purim, there's one other, one Purim here also, it's going to be one Purim, which again will be the one that's closer to Nisan. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yisi, Hai Hashen is my Ovidle, what does he do with that, the second one? He doesn't hold it to the second other, it's the first other. Says the Gemara, Mibayle Lik to Rav Shmuel by Yehuda. Because the Amr of Shmuel by Yehuda says, it's not referring to the second month of Adar, rather it's talking about the second letter, like the simple translation of the Pasuk. Betchila kavu b'shushan. Initially, the sages instituted the Yom Tov Purim in Shushan, which was the capital city, which all the primary miracle happened. U'b'saif, at the end, in the second year, then they went, which is the second time, to establish an obligation. Then b'chalam kula, then they went and established throughout the entire world. That was the second letter for the whole world. That's what Hashenis refers to, but not referring to the second Adar. Rather, he holds that the primary mitzvahs of Purim are in Adar Rishon.